I love mornings, which is a good thing since the Today Show starts early.
Good morning, welcome to Today.
Those first hours set the tone for the day ahead.
We're here to give you the best start. You get the news, learn something new, and even get a little boost.
You start the day off with a clean slate, and we hope you'll start it with us.
We begin our day so you can take on yours.
Because every day needs today.
Watch the Today Show weekday mornings at 7 on NBC.
Get ready. Xfinity Flex has unlocked shows and movies from all over the globe, and you can watch for free right from your couch. Journey to Japan with shows from Anime Network. Go back to the Wild West with Billy the Kid and other MGM Plus picks. Celebrate Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month with hits from Kokawa and Haya. And break out your dance moves with iHeartRadio's K-pop hits playlist. Find new entertainment on Xfinity Flex. All for free, no strings attached. Say free this week into your Xfinity voice remote. Want to get away, but still listen to your favorite radio stations and podcasts? Then listen up. iHeartRadio is now the onboard music partner on select Southwest flights. That means you can jam out to your favorite local radio station, even if you're flying coast to coast. Check out expertly curated stations that are perfect for kids and adults. Available on most domestic Southwest flights and perfect for a full nonstop or those pesky minutes between a movie ending and your plane touching down. So grab your headphones, raise your tray table, and relax with iHeartRadio and Southwest Airlines.
And we continue here with Our American Stories and with our Memorial Day special. Up next, Joey Cortez brings us a story about the second battle for Fallujah in Iraq. This one back in November through December of 2004. Here's Joey.
Following 9/11, U.S. Marine Corps Sergeant William Leonard was deployed to Iraq three times. On his second deployment, before becoming a sergeant, his unit was at the center of Operation Phantom Fury, the second battle for Fallujah. This battle lasted roughly a month and a half and resulted in 95 American deaths and 560 wounded. William was one of the wounded, and several of his friends were killed. Here's William recounting his experience after entering the city.
I heard some fire coming from a couple of houses over. And so I take one of my guys and we go over. I said, I'm going left, you go right. I kicked the door open. I went left, he went right. I heard two gunshots behind me as soon as he went right. I didn't feel anything, so I figured it was fine. And I knew there was a guy in this little room off to the left. And as I came around the corner, it was like a little 8x8 little sunken room. I'm coming around the corner, he starts firing, I start firing. And so we're both creeping our way around, you know, so we're gonna finish this one way or another. And he ends up shooting me in the wrist and he shoots my gun. Crap, well, he won. Knocks my gun out of my hand, knocks me to the ground. He blows up hits the brick on the side of the building. Whenever he shot the brick on the wall, that completely peppered my face. And I was bleeding from my forehead down the side of my neck. And I still have like purple dots in the side of my face from it. And shoots me through the wrist. And I'm on the ground, laying on the ground. He throws a grenade out, lands right beside me. It doesn't go off. I come back out and I grab my Corman shotgun because my gun was still laying out in front of the little doorway. And so I grabbed his shotgun, go back up there, toss two or three grenades in there and come around the corner, finish him off with a shotgun. Come to find out, the guy who went right, there was a guy right behind me. As soon as he went right, he shot him, and he was kind of drawn down on me, so luckily he went right and got off two shots real quick. So that could have been a bad day, but it turned out to be all right. Just got a little shrapnel. They medevaced me out, and they said we can't remove any of the brick out of your face. It'll all work its way out eventually. So we'll get me back to my unit. They sent me back to Fallujah, and we continued on clearing houses. We kept moving up, kept back clearing, and one night we were kind of at we were going to settle in for the night, and I think it was an old school, old elementary school, I think is what it was. And so there was still a patrol out, and we hear gunfire, and whenever Marines hear a bunch of gunfire, they run towards it. So I grabbed my team, we took off running towards the gunfire, finally found it in a kind of a row of houses, but the south side of it was just a field. It was like a soccer field. So it was all open, and so we called in our CAT team. They had all the big guns, their Mark 19s, their 50 cals and everything on top of their vehicles. They lined up in front of them, and they were kind of softening the houses that none of our guys were in. And we would kind of coordinate with them, go in and clear. And as I was headed into my first house, me and my squad leader, I stepped over a guy as I was going in. His name was Melvin Blazer. So kind of going back to when this all started, Melvin Blazer was my recruiter. And he came to my unit because he knew we were about to deploy. And so he ended up getting killed on that day, December 12th, 2004 in Fallujah. And I remember stepping over him, going into this house to go upstairs. It didn't really sink in with me until later on that day. It just kind of came, I guess, full circle for me, you know. That's where I started, and that's where it kind of ended for him. We went through, got to the front door. I went left, he went right. We cleared down, got to the stairwell. Kind of getting ready to go upstairs, we were hollering at guys to come help us. We finally got guys coming in, and we started up the stairs. Sergeant Jason Arellano, he was my squad leader, he led us up the stairs. As we got to the top of the stairs, a grenade came rolling out in front of us, and it blew, I want to say, about 3 foot in front of him, just right in between his legs. Blew him up, I was right behind him, caught my legs with the shrapnel as well, and we had a stack of people up the stairs and literally blew us all the way back down the stairs. We got to the bottom, he's on top of me, and I kind of squirm out from underneath. You know, there's blood everywhere. He is tore up tremendously. And, you know, you got all the bad things running through your mind. It's just a terrible place where he got hit just right there in his thighs, and you don't know how bad it is. And get him down to the bottom of the stairs, and, you know, he's looking at me. We're real tight. And he was like, you know, we got his pants down, trying to figure out what we needed to do. And he said, is it gone? I said, yeah, man, it is. And he started to tear up. And I was like, man, I'm just joking. No, everything's still there, you should be good. So it kind of had like a laugh cry going on there almost for a minute, and until I told him it was all good, and carried him out to the track and got him loaded up. And that was the last time I seen him for a long time. Turned around, went back in, and pulled another one of our Marines out, Lario Lopez. Dragged him out. He was still kind of guppy breathing, and he couldn't talk. He was just barely able to breathe. So held him until he passed. So then go try and find another house to go in, and just kind of turned into pulling more bodies out than it was fighting. So it almost kind of turned into more of a recovery than a firefight. So I just kept kind of finding guys as I was trying to go in and get into the fight. Kept finding guys to pull back out. We ended up losing quite a bit of our platoon and quite a few other guys I knew. And by the time I was kind of trying to go back in, they kind of pulled everybody out and backed us all up, and they just started dropping artillery on it, and decided that'd be it. We got everybody out, dropped artillery, kind of went through and let the dust clear. We set up security on it just to make sure nobody else got out, none of the bad guys anyways, and went back for the night, loaded up all the bodies on the back of a truck, and they hauled them off We kind of hunkered down for the night. Nobody got much sleep that night.
Here's William, reflecting on the men he lost.
Staff Sergeant Melvin Blazer, he was my Marine recruiter. He's the one who got me into the Marine Corps. If you were to talk to him away from the recruiting office, away from the Marine Corps, you'd never know he was a Marine. He was the absolute nicest guy you'd ever meet in your life. Just this wholesome, genuine, nice guy. Sergeant Kirk, he was our platoon sergeant. Me being the tall guy that I am, he was about a foot shorter than me, but he had this voice. And he was a little guy too. He wasn't very big, but he just had this demanding voice and kind of this aura about him that he knew what he was doing. He was confident in everything he did. For whatever reason, he was just one of those guys. He was a great leader, and he was a leader of Marines. Hilario Lopez, he came into the Marine Corps with me. You know, I still keep in touch with his family. Just such a good dude. He was super young. I mean, compared to me, I went in old. I think he went in at 17 or 18. Had his whole life ahead of him. He was just, he was going hard and wrong place at the wrong time. Jason Claraday, he was in our platoon also. He was just a country boy from Arkansas. You know, a hell of a shot. We would be able to talk about hunting and fishing because we both kind of grew up in that type of area. Him growing up in Arkansas, he had this southern drawl about him. And he was just nice as could be. I named one of my last horses after him. You know, they leave a lasting impression on you. You know, they're the guys you strive to make sure that you live so that their memory isn't lost.
And great work as always by Joey, and a special thanks to William. Our Memorial Day special here on Our American Stories.
Get ready. Xfinity Flex has unlocked shows and movies from all over the globe, and you can watch for free right from your couch. Journey to Japan with shows from Anime Network. Go back to the Wild West with Billy the Kid and other MGM Plus picks. Celebrate Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month with hits from Kokawa and Haya. And break out your dance moves with iHeartRadio's K-pop hits playlist. Find new entertainment on Xfinity Flex. All for free, no strings attached. Say free this week into your Xfinity voice remote.
What if you could choose a medical provider who makes you the priority? A provider who truly listens to your concerns, answers your questions, and explains your treatment? A provider who sees you as more than just their next patient? For more than 50 years, Physician Associates have been going beyond for patients, providing high-quality care that's as personal as it is comprehensive, giving you the confidence that when you see a PA, their only priority is you. Learn more at PASGoBeyond.com.
In Denver, a girl's getaway to the city comes with a side of Rocky Mountains. Shopping in Cherry Creek turns into delicious Larimer Square eats. Sunny days in Watch Park lead to sizzling nights in River North. And a concert at Red Rocks means dancing with a view. When you're planning your girls' trip, come to the intersection of life and however you like living it. Denver, always welcome. Plan your getaway at visitdenver.com/summer. Sponsored by Visit Denver.